This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, at the start of next week, the latest round of Michelin stars will be awarded or taken away from Irish restaurants. So how do eateries go about trying to win one? How are they awarded? Joanne Cronin is a food writer with the Irish Times. Good afternoon, Joanne.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Now, this whole business is extremely secretive.
Absolutely. Michelin, the only time you will know when Michelin has been in the house is when you were put into the guide. They do not announce or make themselves public while they're visiting a restaurant.
And as far as is known, there's a Michelin star, obviously, but, you know, the Bib Gourmand and all that kind of stuff. Are they the same judges who were awarding those different awards?
I can't say for certain, but that's what we believe is the case, that these judges, they regularly travel around, you know, the group of judges who travel around UK and Ireland. They will visit all restaurants, the full gamut from the kind of more casual places that just get a mention in the guide, all the way through, as you said, to the Bib Gourmands, and then finally the stars. So these inspectors are supposed to eat in all of the restaurants.
Oh, like, I mean, as in, you know, the Carvery down the road from you in County Louth kind of thing.
Well, maybe if it was a really good Carvery, it might be worth visiting for the guide. But in general, as you said, the guide has a whole range of restaurants. And just to even get a listing in the guide, never mind getting a Bib or a star, just to get a listing puts you out there and puts your name out there for tourism and visitors.
Yeah, absolutely. What would be the difference, for instance, between getting a Bib award and a star? Now, obviously, price would be one factor. So what are they saying if they give you a Bib?
Okay, so if they give you a Bib, they are saying that you are cooking consistently good food at a good value point. In the past, a Bib used to be more about price. It would be quite, you know, quite an affordable meal, but good food. These days, I think with the costs of running restaurants, it's a little bit more subtle. It's more about good food and good value consistently. Now, stars, they're a different category. You're starting to go into fine dining with stars. And a one star is simply very good. That's what they say. That's the definition. I know. And then as you go up to two stars, it means excellent cooking, worth a detour. And that goes back to where the Michelin guide comes from. It was originally for people who were traveling around in their fancy motor cars. And then lastly, the three stars, the top tier, that's exceptional food, worth a special journey.
Right. OK. And you can't get any higher than three stars.
No, three is as high as it gets. There's literally a handful in the world, or relatively few, and there are none in Ireland currently.
Yeah. Now, the assumption is at least that most of the judges do they call themselves judges, that they're English when they're inspecting Irish restaurants. Would that be the case?
That's kind of what the story is, like the feeling on the ground. Now, you can't say for certain because, again, they keep everything under wraps. But we are, Ireland and the UK is published as one guide. So the feeling out there talking to people in the industry is a lot of the inspectors come from the UK to Ireland. The feeling is there are no Irish inspectors. That, again, we can't say for certain, but that's the feeling. Now, however, though, inspectors will come in from other regions sometimes as well. That's the theory, to kind of, you know, check standards, maybe to assess the higher starred restaurants. But the theory on the ground is most of them are from the UK.
Do they even give the restaurants notice to the extent, say, if you have a star already, that Michelin will say, well, across these months, an inspector will be calling in. That's all we're going to tell you.
No, there's no heads up given to the restaurant. Michelin want to experience restaurants as regular customers. So they want to go in and just have the exact same experience as if you and I were eating there that night. So there's no heads up given. I mean, if you are a starred restaurant, you can assume that you are going to have Michelin inspectors in the house, maybe possibly several times a year. You just won't know when.
Yeah. Now, are they judging it on their own experience or other people's experience?
They judge it. The star and the rating is given based on the food, and it's on there, and it's only the food. Michelin say clearly it's purely the food, that the service, the hospitality, the wine doesn't matter. Now, that's a little bit different for you and I. If we go, we want the full package. But Michelin say they are assessing purely on the food, the cooking, the chef's techniques. Which is very interesting.
Yeah, because I remember hearing a story that you know, that sometimes they'll drop a knife on the floor just to see how quickly somebody comes over to pick it up.
Yeah, there are stories like that. There are. And if you talk to some people in the industry, some people who've been in the restaurant business for 30, 40 years at these types of restaurants, they will say, like, in the past, Michelin inspectors actually sometimes could reveal themselves in the past. They would say, after their meal, I am a Michelin inspector and here are some, you know, feedback from my meal. And one of the stories I heard, one of the anecdotes was literally someone was there with a timer, a stopwatch in the restaurant, and just, you know, clicking every time their course came out and monitoring the whole meal that blatantly.
Oh, wow. That's really giving it away. But so normally if you're a restaurateur in Ireland, if an English person comes in and it's table for one, then presumably red lights are flashing in the kitchen.
In the past, yeah, absolutely. People I've spoken to would say that. In the past, a single diner, usually a male, to be fair, on his own UK accent, UK contact details, that would have been a red flag back then, totally. I think these days, a lot more people travel on their own for work or for pleasure. And, you know, it's not necessarily the giveaway that it used to be in the past.
Yeah. They must live on their nerves doing this stuff. And these inspectors, I assume, are very experienced in the restaurant trade or the hotel trade.
That's what Michelin tell us. Again, we don't know because very few of them ever speak to press or trade. But what Michelin say is that they are all people with many years of experience, like you said, in the hospitality or the hotel business, and that they are experts in food. Now, they go through training once they're signed up to become a Michelin inspector. The rumor is that they go through a kind of a shadowing and training process for 2 years as they build up their experience. But fundamentally, they are supposed to be highly experienced people.
Yeah. So presumably, if you have a star already or two stars already, it won't be just one visit. You'll be visited maybe multiple times by.
Exactly. And like to the whole way, apparently, the inspectors work is through consensus. So for a restaurant to get promoted to one star or to get promoted up to two or three, apparently the Michelin inspector group, the group as a whole, have to agree that this restaurant deserves that, you know, accolade. So it might take multiple visits before the group is convinced as a whole that the restaurant deserves more stars.
Right. And the announcements are going to be made in Dublin this year.
I know, which is very exciting news. I mean, the industry in Ireland is genuinely delighted with this. It's a great opportunity, you know, to showcase Ireland, to showcase Irish food and Irish restaurants. And there will be a lot of, you know, very, very, you know, famous chefs coming to Ireland over the next. Rumours are some of them are already in town eating around the place, because they will come for the party. They will come for the event.
Yeah. And it's at this time of the year, then, do writers about food like yourself and people who work in the industry, are you all kind of making side bets as to what's going to happen to what restaurant?
We're all speculating. Everyone is speculating. I know I have, I think, who I would like to see. But again, I'm not an inspector. I'm going on my experience, my judgment. But hopefully we'll see some new stars in the country. That would be fantastic. And hopefully we might see some elevations.
Right. OK. So are you prepared to publicly make predictions, Joanne?
Look, myself and Corinna, who is the restaurant critic for the Irish Times, we've had some conversations. And I think there are some forerunners out there. Like, we would, you know, in terms of a three star, I think that the word, the kind of the restaurants that are being mentioned constantly are Chapter One in Dublin, obviously. Mm. Leah, Day Day down in West Cork, and Restaurant Patrick Guibeau gets mentioned as well. Who knows? You know, we'll have to see. Restaurants being mentioned as potentially going to two-star are the Lady Helen and Mount Juliet. The cooking down there has been going great now. And obviously, we'd love to see more one-stars because that's just brilliant for tourism and it's a brilliant recognition for the restaurants.
Yeah. Are there restaurateurs, though, who perhaps have won a Michelin star and then decide this isn't worth it. It's not economic and it's too much hassle.
Exactly. And we've actually had at least two cases of that in Ireland recently. Oliver Dunn, who had Bon Appetit in Malahide, decided to let the star expire, not go keep it. And he went to more casual dining. And the same with Takashi Miyazaki in Cork, who had a very, very fine dining Japanese restaurant and decided to go more casual and just go back to simpler food. So both those guys voluntarily surrendered their stars.
And would that have been for economic, you know, for financial reasons that he just can't make it pay?
I honestly can't say. I think part of it is probably a desire to cook simpler food and not have the pressure of the star and the fine dining, maybe to do food that you probably maybe enjoy more and that you want to have customers enjoy. It's hard to say what drives anybody.
Yes. But you could see how, because the pressure of it must be intolerable. And as well, I imagine the competition for staff.
Exactly. I mean, staff who work in one star to three star restaurants are generally really, really experienced people who know this type of game inside out. So to keep and retain staff at that level, you know, you have to do that in order to have that consistency of experience. I mean, if you look at like Chapter One and others in Dublin, they will have had the same front of house people for years and years.
Yeah. Is in that instance, though, where a star is awarded or an additional star is awarded, is it, you know, does the owner of the restaurant immediately have to go back to the premises and start throwing money at the chef to keep them?
I don't think so. I think people who are operating at that level, you know that, you know. I think it's like any career, I think it's about providing people with a good work experience, a good, you know, a good family at work and the right benefits. And the restaurant industry in that sense is no different to others.
Now, one of our listeners has texted in, Joanne, to say, I was asked by a stranger to buy takeaway food for him at a fancy restaurant. He ate it in the car park. He gave me 10 euro tip for my trouble. Turns out he was a Michelin judge who didn't want to be recognised. Does that sound credible to you?
I've never heard of that example. Who knows? Like, this is the secrecy they operate under. And in theory, they're only judging on the food, so they don't need to go into the restaurant to experience that.
Yeah, but there's not many of these restaurants doing like kebabs out the front kind of thing, I would have thought. Anyway.
Well, that would be one hell of a kebab shop.
So it's Monday night, it's on?
It's starting, I think, if I remember right, at 6 o'clock on Monday in the Dublin Convention Centre. Obviously, invites go to chefs and media and so on. It's not open to the public, but anyone who is interested can watch it online. It will be streamed online.
Yeah, so this is like Oscars for food, essentially.
It is. And a lot of, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have secured a ticket to go myself this year, which I'm truly excited about. But in previous years, I would have been watching that live stream like everybody else.
Yeah. And do you just sit in the audience or do you get something to eat? There would be irony if you don't.
I have literally no idea. This will be my first time going. So I'm hoping there might be some little nibbles. I've been told the dress attire is cocktail, so I have to make a little bit of an effort.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I suppose whoever's providing food at the Michelin Awards would be under considerable pressure, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think there would be a tough audience, all right. But to be honest, I think people who are attending are there for the party, they're there for the celebration, you know, of the good news, the recognition of people's hard work.
Joanne, thanks a million for talking to us today and enjoy yourself on Monday night. That was Joanne Cronin there, food writer for the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.